Scott Petrak joining us on the hotline. Scott, thank you for the time this afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
So far, so good. And, well, this thing really has taken off since the season ended on Sunday. And I guess there's the old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. How much of that do you think could help Greg Williams in this process, if at all?
I think very minimally. I know Greg did a really good job, and I know there's kind of a ground beat of support to keep him among fans and some in the media and maybe even some people within the Browns headquarters. I just think John Dorsey sees this as his chance to hire a head coach and his first chance, maybe his only chance as a GM, and he's not going to base it on 8 games at the end of one season. It's going to be a much broader view for him and a bigger decision. And while Greg did a remarkable job under difficult circumstances, I just think when it gets to the end, John Dorsey's going to think he can find a better candidate somewhere else.
Along those same lines, using that same old adage, do you think that actually helps or hurts the chances of Freddie Kitchens?
Well, it's interesting. I think I look at Freddie in a different way, and this might be just my personal opinion. To me, Freddie's success is more sustainable than Greg Williams' success. Freddie's younger. I believe the connection he made with Baker is legitimate and substantial and important. And I think Freddie has a tremendous upside. Now, I don't know if that means he can be a successful head coach or be a successful head coach right away. And they're going to interview him for the job. I think he's still a long shot to become the next head coach. I think his chances might be better than Greg Williams to become the Browns' next head coach. But the Browns don't want him to get away. They want whoever they hire as a head coach, if it's not Freddie, they want the next guy to at least interview Freddie to see if he wants to keep him. So I think there's a chance Freddie stays in either role, and I am working under the assumption that Greg stays in neither role, is coach or defensive coordinator.
Well, yeah, it would be kind of tough to bring him back, right? I mean, if he's not going to be the head coach, I have a hard time believing a guy with an ego like that, and that's not a knock against him, but I mean, I just think a guy with an ego like that, I don't think he'd be willing to come back and be a defensive coordinator over somebody that was essentially hired over him, no?
Well, yeah, I think the dynamic, if it were Freddie as head coach and Greg as coordinator, there's no way that works.
Yeah,
I think you might be able to float a scenario where you hire a different head coach, Greg doesn't get a head coaching offer somewhere else, is weighing his coordinator options and says, you know what, I'll go back to Cleveland. I could be a coordinator there. Even saying that, I think that's a tough dynamic for whoever the next head coach is, because Greg's been the guy in front of these 53 guys, or however many of the 53 guys returned for 2019. And, you know, some guys are just going to want to naturally turn to Greg as the leader. And I just think it's a bad dynamic. I think, like I said, Greg did a really good job as interim coach. He's had success as a defensive coordinator. So I don't want to diminish that, but I don't think Greg is a special defensive coordinator. So I think why risk a dynamic that could wind up hurting you in the end, especially if the next coach starts 1-3 or something and people are getting all panicky and, Greg's here. I just don't think you want to have that anywhere within your organization. So even if you have to take a minor step back at coordinator, I think it's worth not having to deal with that. So I don't think Greg stays unless maybe the Browns' first couple of candidates for head coach don't work out and Greg's their fallback. But like I said, I just don't see that happening.
Is he being sought after by any other teams out there right now?
Well, you know, he made a reference right after the finale that word on the street is that he would get some offers, but it hasn't surfaced at all. And part of that could be because he's interviewed with the Browns and he's just kind of waiting to see what happens there. But I just don't think there's a huge market for him. Now, I wouldn't be stunned if he got an interview or got a job because there's a lot of openings. I think there's 8 openings. The candidate pool, you know, some people argued isn't as deep as it has been in past years. He has some experience. But, you know, if Greg was a head coach with Buffalo from 2001 to 2003, there's a plenty of chances for teams to hire him as a head coach again, and they didn't. And I think the ship has probably sailed on his chance to be head coach. And I would say that the only chance he has is if the Browns retain him after he went 5-3. And while I'm not eliminating that, I think it's a long shot, like we talked about.
We're talking about the Browns head coaching search with Scott Petrak with the Chronicle-Telegram. And, of course, you can see all of his work as well at brownszone.com. What do you know about the Chiefs special teams coordinator? Correct me if I'm saying his name incorrectly, or Dave Tobe. Is that how you say his name?
I believe it is. I've never gotten 100% confirmation that it's Tobe and not Tobe, okay. But I believe it's Tobe.
See, I'm in the same boat. I've never gotten 100% confirmation on that either, but he really kind of seems like a guy that the current administration likes a lot. I don't know if you could tie that to the relationship that John Dorsey already kind of had with him and the time that he spent with the Chiefs previously, but he seems like the kind of guy that, even though he hasn't officially been interviewed at this point, well, I mean, they're in the playoffs, they can't really interview him yet, but he seems like the kind of guy that could certainly be in the mix, and if indeed he does interview in the next week to 10 days, he could certainly go right to the top of the list.
Well, you know what? Here's what's interesting to me. He's a well-respected guy throughout the league, and he's had head coaching interviews. Having said that, that's why I always connected Dave Tobe and Eric Bieniemy with John Dorsey. He had come from Kansas City. It just seemed natural to me, especially Bieniemy, because John Dorsey has brought his name up unprompted several times and how much players respect him. But the Browns haven't, to my understanding, and I checked in yesterday, I don't believe they've requested interviews with these two guys. And if they're going to interview them, it would be this weekend. Because during the bye, Kansas City has a bye, they would interview before Sunday. And Eric Bieniemy is out there, and we've seen his name with other teams. And the fact that it's not connected to the Browns, to me, means either they didn't want to interview with the Browns or Dorsey didn't request it. And I don't know if John just has something against Kansas City because it didn't end there. You know, it didn't end well for him there. But I don't think those guys are they're no longer favorites. And at one point I thought they were, and I'm not even sure they're going to get interviews with the Browns. So that was surprising, but I think you have to turn your attention elsewhere because I just think we'd see a scheduled interview for this weekend, and it looks like the Browns are going in a different direction.
Ultimately, how long do you think this is going to take? I realize that there's really no hardcore answer to that that anybody can really stick by, but I mean, what does your gut tell you? Does your gut tell you this is going to be wrapped up in 10 days to 2 weeks, or do you think it's going to be longer than that?
Well, I think we make it through the weekend for sure, right? They have interviews reportedly lined, and the Browns aren't confirming until they're done interviewing, but they have interviews lined up with Kevin Stefanski and Matt Eberflus and Nick Sirianni and Dave Campbell, a bunch of assistant coaches from across the league. And then Mike McCarthy is supposed to be at the beginning of next week. You know, it's not locked down yet, but that's what one of the Green Bay reporters has been reporting. So to me, if you get through all these guys and then you get to Mike McCarthy, and if you sit down with McCarthy, and they all know him, right? The Browns front office, John Dorsey and Alonzo Highsmith and Ellie Wolf, they all know Mike McCarthy really, really well because they were in Green Bay together forever. That they could come together and figure something out in a hurry, right? And Mike McCarthy might decide he doesn't want to coach in 2019. He might decide he wants the Jets job better, you know, and that's his preference. But if that's not the case, and if he's willing to come to Cleveland now, then it could get done right away. And we could be looking at, you know, I'm just throwing out dates, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? It could get done. If it's not Mike McCarthy, for whatever reason, the Browns don't want him, he doesn't want to come here, whatever it is, then it all depends on the guy, their next guy on the list. Is his team still in the playoffs? And let's say it's Dan Campbell from the Saints. He's their assistant head coach, tight ends coach. Well, the Saints haven't even played yet. So you interview them this weekend. They don't play till next weekend. And if they win, then you can't interview them again until after the conference championship game, either before he goes to the Super Bowl or the Saints lose and you can hire him. So it could get done early next week. It could drag on till Super Bowl time. You know, that's when it gets a little sketchy, but you should also then know which kind of, it narrows down the candidates, right? If the timeline keeps extending, you kind of have an idea who possibly it could be, and that means assistance from teams still playing in the playoffs.
Scott, how much of a search is this really? Do the Browns think they have a guy in mind, do you think? Or do you think they're legitimately interviewing all these guys because they want to know who the best possible candidate can be?
I don't think all the candidates are legitimate.
Sure.
And this isn't to downplay them. I'm just saying,
I got you.
A lot of times you interview a guy so he can give you an opinion on your roster. You interview a guy because, let's say, Kevin Stefanski, who's supposed to be interviewing today, and no confirmation yet, but that's what we're hearing, then you interview him because maybe you want to suggest him as a potential offensive coordinator, right? Or you decide to hire Freddie Kitchens. You say, hey, how about bringing this guy in as your quarterback coach slash coordinator? Or you know that, hey, maybe 3 years down the road or 5 years down the road, we're looking for another head coach. We're looking for another coordinator. And this guy could be on our radar. So you interview guys for different reasons. So I don't think every one of these guys is a legitimate candidate. But I do believe that John Dorsey wants to sit down with several candidates. And, you know, I've talked to John Dorsey about picking players before. And he says you can look into a guy's soul and tell if he's a good guy. And we were talking about, you know, Baker Mayfield. And then we're talking about some of the guys he's taken with character concerns. And he really believes he can kind of judge a guy when he sits down and meets him. And I would not discount that role in picking a head coach. When he sits down with a guy for 6-8 hours, however long the interview is, and gets a sense that this guy can lead my team. So I do think the interviews are important. I'm sure there's a ranking going into the interviews, but I think that can be changed. So, you know, I think Mike McCarthy's an easy guy to say, yeah, if he wants to come here, he's won a Super Bowl, he'd be number one. And that makes the most sense to me. But I think you look at a guy like Dan Campbell, it looks like a John Dorsey guy to me. He has a really impressive resume. And then after that, I think you throw Freddie Kitchens in with all these other guys and say, you know what, maybe we just stick with our guy here. So I think that's how I rank it right now. But, you know, this is only, whatever, 2 or 3 interviews into the process.
And what's fascinating is that, you know, we're not entirely sure just how long this is going to take or how many other candidates may actually throw their hat in the ring as well. We've heard a lot of different names over the last few days here. Boy, Jim Caldwell was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't really expect his name to jump out, but, you know, this is a guy who also has had a lot of success as a head coach. I mean, was he a bit of a surprise to you when you heard his name thrown out there?
Well, you know, a little bit, but he makes sense, you know. He's got a really good record. I want to say it's 64-54 in 7 years with the Colts and the Lions. He went to the playoffs 4 times in the 7 years. Went to the Super Bowl in his first year with the Colts. They went 14-2, lost to the Saints in the Super Bowl. And that record, his overall record, would be even better if you get rid of when the year Peyton Manning was hurt before they got Andrew Luck. I think they went 2-14. If you throw that out, he's got a big-time winning percentage. So it makes sense. He's well-respected. I don't think he's a guy that energizes your fan base. You know, so I don't think he jumps to the top of the list, but I think he's a respected guy. I would not discount him as a possibility, but he's 63, you know, and that doesn't mean you can't hire him. Greg's 60. Bruce Arians is 66, and a lot of people like him like the thought of him. I just think where you are with Baker Mayfield and where this team feels like it's going, it feels like a younger coach to me. You want the energy. You want this is our guy for the next 10 years with Baker, and that doesn't feel like what Jim Caldwell would be. But he worked with Peyton Manning. He worked with Matthew Stafford, so there's something to be said for that. And he worked for a long time as Peyton Manning's quarterback coach coordinator, and there's something to be said for that.
What's the most interesting name that you've heard pop up so far? I mean, with these head coaching searches, look, it's not an exact science. I mean, I think you don't have to look too far away to find out how some of these things work. You know, Mike Tomlin was a defensive coordinator, what, 10, 12 years ago with the Vikings. Now, that was a year where the Vikings didn't go to the playoffs, but their defense was really good. They were especially stout against the run, and Tomlin kind of emerged. He just blew the Rooneys away with that interview, and here he is a dozen later with another Super Bowl ring and a couple of appearances. So it's just so bizarre to see how these things go, but are there any names out there so far that you think are, like, I don't want to say wow factors, but are there names out there that have kind of surprised you?
Well, I, you know, the Mike Tomlin thing is interesting because you're right. I don't think the Steelers intended to hire him when they sat down with him. and then they change their mind. And I could see John Dorsey being in that situation where he sits down with a guy and he's got an open mind and he's blown away and boom, there's your next coach. So I think that could happen with any of these guys. The names that struck me were the Kevin Stefanski. You know, he's been the coordinator in Minnesota for like 4 weeks because they just fired John DeFilippo. It would feel like a leap to make him your head coach. Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator with the Colts, to be honest, I never heard of the guy. You know, he coached at Mount Union for a little bit. He's a young guy. You know, the Colts had that big change, you know, last year. They fired the coach. They tried to hire Josh McDaniels. He left at the last minute. They wound up with Frank Reich. Obviously, he's done a great job in the playoffs. So he seems like a stretch. That doesn't mean he can't get the job, but he's off the radar. He was off the radar. And you could say the same for the Colts' defensive coordinator. It's Matt Eberflus. And what's interesting about him, first of all, he coached linebackers with the Browns when Mangini was the head coach and Rob Ryan was the defensive coordinator. So he's got some history here. He took the job in Indianapolis thinking Josh McDaniels was going to be the coach. And then McDaniels left and Eberflus stayed. So I think that speaks well for him that he didn't just leave and that he made it work with a head coach that probably didn't even intend to hire him, but just got put together. So, you know, is he a guy that could jump out? Yeah, you know, and it's been 8 or 10 years since he was here with Mangini. And I can't, you know, I can honestly say for the 2 years he was here, I never said, hey, man, Matt Eberflus is going to be a head coach someday. But, you know, so I guess I'm more surprised by these names right now than, yeah, look out for this guy. But, you know, John Dorsey has been around this league a long time. It's had a ton of context. And I think it does mean something when he wants to bring you in for an interview.
And along those same lines, I think it's safe to say that the search is much different this time around, perhaps a bit more complicated because you do have people that don't want to change much because they've seen a great deal of success this year, certainly far more towards the end of the year than they've seen in many, many years. So that complicates things. But do you think John Dorsey approaches this also with the mentality of that, hey, this is the most attractive job out there? You know, we don't have to be the first one to offer. If there are a couple of names that we really like, we kind of feel like guys might hold out to take a job like this simply because this is the most attractive position out there.
Well, I know he thinks it's very attractive. I think you have to be careful, you know, how long you wait and how long, you know, it's almost like the musical chairs, you know. If you're a coach and you get offered, you think, man, if I don't take that job, and I wait and I don't get this job, I miss out on the chance for the first job. You got to be careful. And I get why this job is attractive. And there's no denying it's attractive. And there's no denying it's way more attractive than it has been in years past. I'm not ready to say it's hands down the most attractive job in the league. Green Bay has tremendous stability, no real owner, and, you know, an all-time quarterback. So that job is still a really, really good job. You know, the Jets have a young quarterback that a lot of people before the draft thought was the best quarterback in the draft. It's a giant media market. It's a lot of money. They have a lot of salary cap space, too. So there's other attractive jobs out there, but I think John Dorsey will wind up with a good candidate. I think John Dorsey won't feel pressure to, you know, I think Jimmy Haslam, when he made these other three hires, you know, Rob Chudzinski and Mike Pettine and Hugh Jackson, and even John Dorsey, you know, when he hired him last December, felt like, if I don't hire him, I don't know if I'm going to get a good candidate. And I just don't think that Dorsey feels that pressure. I think he has enough connections where he says, you know what, if my 1A choice goes somewhere else or says no, 1B can also have success in Cleveland and with my team. So, you know, it's an interesting dynamic. I think he feels good about the interest in the team. I think he feels good about the roster, all those things. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and if, you know, the Browns and the Jets are vying for Mike McCarthy or whatever. You know, the Browns and Arizona are vying for Dan Campbell. You know, how they go head-to-head and if John Dorsey just says, you know what, I'm going to lock up my guy, or he takes a step back and says, let's let this whole procedure play out and kind of see who's left standing. So that's the thing. John Dorsey's never done this before, so we don't know exactly how he's going to handle things.
Well, Scott, before we cut you loose, we'll get outside this coaching search for just a moment. How much smoke do you think there is to Jarvis Landry's recruiting tactics on Twitter the last couple of days? I mean, boy, he's really reaching. And sometimes that's done in good fun, but you certainly get the idea he's playing off the unhappiness of some guys with a certain divisional rival. But he's kind of cast a wider net, though, the last couple of days. It's been pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It gives you something to talk about, for sure. You know, I mean, he said the same stuff about Odell Beckham, and he said the same stuff about Dez Bryant. You know, he just wants guys to come here, and he wants talent. And, you know, God bless him for trying to recruit people, you know, recruit talent here. First of all, you know, I Le'Veon Bell doesn't really fit. You know, you got Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson. Antonio Brown would be a great addition to any roster. I would be worried about chasing a guy that just, quote-unquote, quit on his team in the last week of the season when they're trying to get into the playoffs. I think you'd have to do some research there. I know he's a crazy hard worker. I know he's one of the top two or three receivers in the league, so I'm not just dismissing it out of hand. But it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. If the Steelers would even trade him to the Browns, you know, I think there's been, whatever, two or three trades in history between the organizations, or at least over the last 50 years. You know, and I think that's just who Jarvis is. You know, he's ready to win. He felt like he was, whatever, miscast in Miami, or they gave up on him, and, you know, the coach was kind of running him out of town. So I think he feels maybe a kindred spirit with Antonio Brown. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And obviously we have to pay attention to what happens with Antonio Brown, because he's so talented. Even if he leaves Pittsburgh and goes somewhere else, it hurts probably your number one rival in the division.
Right. He can't kill the Browns twice a year if he's exactly. somewhere else. That's right. That's exactly it. Scott, we appreciate the time very much. Thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure to have you on. And I know you'll be busy the next couple of weeks before the Browns make a final decision. But thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.